Show. I'm Carl Lamar.
The Patriot Act, turning citizens into suspects since 2001. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
General William Walker, the commanding general of the District of Columbia National Guard. Major, thank you for joining us this morning. Can you start out by saying what the current threat level is? Do you have what you need in place to counter it?
Good morning, sir. I do believe we have everything. If I can first say happy holiday for Dr. Martin Luther King, and please allow me to say how proud I am of the almost 25,000 National Guardsmen who have come in from all 50 states and territories to help support the Secret Service and the police departments that with a peaceful transition of military power, with a peaceful transition of military power, with a peaceful transition of military power.
Sorry, I ate a hot tamale and my mouth's on fire.
Well, that was smart.
Going right into the live show. Sorry about... Hold on.
Let me get a drink.
Stop it. Hold on a second. Okay, we're good. Listen, the reason I played that clip... Oh, that was embarrassing. The reason I played that clip is listen to the wording he said.
Police departments that with a peaceful transition of military power... With a peaceful transition of military power.
I'm going to admit, that's a weird statement. Usually it's peaceful transmission to or for power, not to military power. That is really peaceful transition to military power. That's an odd statement to make. I'm with you. But I do want to kind of go with, I want to go down. Welcome to the show, by the way. Hi, Uncle Milty.
Hi.
Let's go down both kind of trails, shall we? Just for just a moment here, because... I want to make sure that we are, I'm always like you guys, I want to know both sides. I want to know, you know, I don't want to just listen to the Joel Skousens. I want to listen to the Joel Skousens plus all the other people that are seeing other pieces in other ways. I want to see it all because analysts are analysts. They're used to taking in information and throwing you what the answer was. Had George Washington been sitting at a table with everyone from Skousen to Gerald Celente to Robert Steele, the, I think, present CIA spy, you name it, and all these people at a table, what would he have heard? Because obviously, things worked out in this favor. So I can't always just push it to the side and say, well, this analyst is completely correct. But I will say this. There are a lot of EOs that have been signed. Executive orders in the last couple of days that are kind of interesting that you have to take a look at because it's the reality. It's a fact. It's a fact. Few facts we're dealing with in America today. That one's a fact, right?
Yep.
You look at the executive orders, you wonder what in the world's going on with just a couple of days in office. What is going on? Okay. But then you have to turn that on its side and you have to say, what did Obama do in his last couple of days in office? Do you want to know what he did? He actually, just days before the inauguration, put out an executive order 13762 providing an order of succession within the Department of Justice. Did they need that? Why the change? Just before he's leaving office. It was strange. Another one did the same for the Environmental Protection Agency right after that. Then on January 17th, which would have been yesterday, Obama signed in 2017... Obama signed amend the civil service rules, executive order 13488 and executive order 13467 to modernize the executive branch wide governance structure and processes for civil clearances, suitability and fitness for employment with and credentialing and related matters. That's a big mouthful of an executive order.
It most certainly is.
Okay. So when we're looking at information, incoming information, one of the first things I do is look for past precedent. I'm just being honest with you. One of the first things I do is, okay, what's the norm? Let's go to Bush. Let's go to Obama. Let's go to Clinton. Yeah, they're all sellouts, but let's go to all of them and find out where they, what they did. Is it much different than we're seeing now? Because somebody that tells me, look at these executive orders, this is really weird, that I first go, wow, That is kind of what would explain this. It's very, very strange. But I think you have to look at both sides of that bit of information. There are a lot of executive orders signed in the last days before they leave office.
But they also seem to have come to some kind of an agreement between all presidents, past, present, and future.
Right.
That they're going to leave executive orders in place even when the next president can reverse them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't do it.
They don't do it. Okay. But now they haven't had to do it so far because truly the executive orders were, no matter right or left, they were right on board with the globalists.
Exactly.
Okay. So there are going to be some that they try to reverse this time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They don't want Human Sanctity of Life Day.
No.
That was just signed.
Right.
They don't believe in the human sanctity of life. They believe in depopulation. So we're going to see some that are absolutely taken out of the picture.
Well, Biden has actually said he's going to spend his whole first day reversing Trump executive orders. Yeah. He's come out and said that.
Yeah, I know. Let's all remember that he's the Communist Party nomination.
Right.
Okay. Never before have we put a sitting president that was nominated by the Communist Party in as president. I just have to say that just for just wide-eyed, oh my gosh, factor. Okay, of the show.
Yep.
All right, so the other thing is this. Why is he declaring all of the emergencies in all the states? A lot of people questioning this. Chrisanne and Hall and I talked about this. And one of the explanations for that is to keep the funds flowing to the states for the emergency, what they're calling COVID, that fraudulent bug that they're passing off as a plague, that it keeps the emergency money flowing. So that's another example of which side of the information do you want to believe? Do you want to believe that it was done as a disaster because there might be a situation in which martial law occurs? Or do you believe that it was for the funding flowing? There's all kinds of different. That's why I'm saying there's such two different lines of communication here.
More than two.
And oh, yeah. And a lot of weird things happening. Now, we also went over the CNN article. The CNN article had back in 2016, during the inauguration, they had all these protests going on that they called peaceful. Okay. And six officers were injured. Six officers were injured. One person was in the hospital with a bullet, critically wounded. We had 217 arrests, and they called that peaceful because people were just mad and they had the right to be anti-Trump. Now, if we had the same scenario, it would be complete chaos as domestic terrorism, as we're all involved in domestic terrorism. So there's obviously, I'm sorry, but even if you're on the left and you're listening to the show and you're a globalist through and through, you can't deny the double standard. You can't deny the fact that the picture painted is completely different as now. Now, they did not have any troops on the ground to protect Trump, even during that inauguration. Okay? They had over 1 million people standing there ready to protect Trump. but they did not have National Guard. National Guard, though, is on the ground for what? The streets are empty, being blocked off by cop cars. Katie Hopkins, a journalist, showed video. She rolled video. She goes, they want a siege. They want it desperately so they can come down with the hammer of more law enforcement and giving them powers and more powers than they already have. So she's like, it's like they're having this theatrical play in this party, but no one's in the audience and no one's coming in to prove their narrative.
Yeah. The players are at home.
25,000. And people have been warned. Don't go. Don't play their hand. Don't be goaded into going. Okay. And I agree with that. Why are 25,000 troops? Why not just 100 troops? Why 25,000? Because of the demonization, the optics, or because something's about to go down in the next 36 hours?
Yeah. And that's a hard one to explain.
That's a hard one.
For nothing to happen makes 25,000 troops look really ridiculous.
And they're going to feel ridiculous. And their narrative's going to feel ridiculous. And then what are they going to paint it as? Because they don't want to look ridiculous. Well, they're already starting to come out with articles that say that basically Trump really never had any support. They're leaving him. They're joining in with the, they believe in the election. They're supporting Biden. No one's showing up. So everyone's happy in America. Mm-hmm. Then they're going to say this is a more united front. United only in propaganda, but they're going to say this as the narrative, and they're going to say, see, nobody showed up because no, everybody truly believes in their stories.
Yeah. Okay? When push came to shove, nobody pushed.
But we all know differently. We all know that these things are such traps for us. It's unbelievable. It's just, and if you go, you're a domestic terrorist. And if you don't go, then you believe in the fraud. Right? You can't even call it fraud because according to Pennsylvania, their lieutenant governor said, if you say the election was a fraud, he didn't say this to all the people that said this about Russia. But right now, if you say it's fraud, that is not protected by free speech. Wow.
So there really is no such thing as free speech.
There's no such thing as free speech. Free speech is just that you either say the speech we like or you say the speech we don't like. So they want you to believe that the government is more powerful than God. They want you to believe that no matter what they do, they'll win. But we also know in history that's not the case. The deep state has lost on occasion, haven't mm-hmm. they? I can go through history and show you all kinds of examples.
Actually, they always lose. It's just a matter of how long it takes.
It's how long God wants them to just kind of move along in that direction. Because I do think God is much more powerful than the deep state will ever even hope to be. But you know what, though? What we just clarified, with two different sets of information, which one do you believe? Which one do you think is happening? Let's take a quick caller, and we've got to go to a break. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
A self-admitted traitorous criminal and a known whore.
Hormala? Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Milty, if anyone tries to inoculate me or disarm me, oh, baby, shall we dance?
Thank you for that.
Yeah,
This is the thing, though. They're not going to. They're not even going to try because they don't want you to win that battle. They control the battle. So they're just going to make your life miserable until you do. You'll be demonized. If you're a Christian and a conservative, those are two C's on your forehead. It's like having the big A on your forehead. It's the new demonization, and that you just won't fly. You won't be able to travel. You won't go on vacation. You won't go anywhere. You won't go to a concert. You can't go into a mall. You can't go into a restaurant. They'll just make it miserable for you until you do what they want. And I really do hope that as miserable as they make it, you don't cave. Because part of what it is to love this country is to stand up even in the uncomfortable and not do their bidding. And that's how they'll do it. They'll never come to your home and take your gun. They don't want you to be a martyr in this fight. They're not going to come and make you take an inoculation. They're just going to make your life miserable until you do. Don't do it. Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
They're slow, and there's insurance company slow. At Siegfried & Jensen, we know a few
things. Open now. Call 888-673-1450.
The communists declared that the racial differences among our people constituted the weakest and most vulnerable point in our social fabric. By constantly probing and straining at this one spot, they calculated that eventually the cloth could be torn apart and that Americans could be divided, weakened, and perhaps even set against each other in open combat. The strategy of the revolution calls for the quiet conversion of our government into a communist regime, but under the banner of socialism. Ladies and gentlemen, the plans and preparations for a communist revolution of force and violence are far advanced. The organization behind these preparations has almost unlimited financial resources, and it provides both training and leadership based upon years of experience in many other countries. Here is a book that I think ought to be in every home library. Color, Communism, and Common Sense by Manning Johnson. He joined the party as a young man because he honestly believed that the communists were trying to improve the conditions of his people. He was a dedicated communist, and eventually he rose to one of the highest ranks. But after many years, he discovered that instead they were merely planning to use his people in a bloody revolution to destroy America. And when he woke up to this, he dropped out of the party and devoted the rest of his life trying to alert his fellow citizens of all races to the true nature of the Communist Party as he knew it to be from the inside.
It's hard to believe.
Wow. Okay. Love it. You know what? That was G. Edward Griffin. We've had him on the show at least 5-6 times now. An amazing guest who wrote the book on the Federal Reserve and exposing it for what it is, neither federal nor reserve. I welcome you back to the show because what an amazing clip that is. Will Americans be after each other? Will this party erode, you know, what is great about America and take it down and take away its sovereignty? They're trying. They're trying. And we all know it. And I love that older clip from Griffin. That was clear back in like the 60s.
He's 1969.
Yeah.
And that's the introduction.
Right.
The video we're talking
we're
about.
We're going to go on. Yeah.
That's the introduction. He used that as the introduction.
We're going to talk more about that too.
Yeah.
You know, this was the day, 26 years ago, I became a mom. Okay. My daughter's 26th birthday today. And everything changed when I became a parent. I wasn't who I am today when it comes to understanding of what's going on in Washington and politics, but I became a more concerned person in society because then it doesn't become about you. It becomes more about the people that you are in your stead that you're taking, that you take responsibility for in this life. And then you want that future for them. And I know all of you out there can agree that if you're a parent at all, or let's say you're a parent to children, because they might be nieces and nephews or whatever the case may be in your life, the reason we fight, the reason we care, the reason we're horrified, the reason that this is insanity is because we're nervous for them.
Yep.
We can handle a lot, but we're nervous for what country they're going to have too.
Yeah. What kind of life they're going to have.
What kind of life they're going to have. One of major coercion and oppressiveness doesn't go well, does it? You don't want that for your family. And I know that you're listening to this today because you care and you're like, what do we do? And is anyone out there going to paint some of this truth? What do we do in the face of all this? And there are things we can do. There really are. And that isn't false hope I'm trying to give. I mean that from a concerned parent myself. There are things that we can do today. You have to get your kids out of the schools. The schools right now are going to be just honestly buckling down on Second Amendment, social justice warrioring, and it's done in ways that are so manipulative on their tests, in their messages in the classroom. That's the first thing that you have to do.
You know, the schools today for our children are no different than what we call re-education camps for adults.
Yeah.
It's just easier when they're children, that's all.
Yeah, so true. And the PBS guy where they house Sesame Street and all the rest, he wanted to put people that supported truth and loved the Constitution, the kids of those parents, in re-education camps because he felt that we had too much influence on their politics.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah, he wants more influence from the left, from the shows they watch to everything else. And there's something that's very concerning to me. We'll either get into it in this hour or tomorrow's show about that very messaging that's going on right now. Because I was concerned about a couple of things and I looked into it and oh my gosh. Anyway, okay. With that being said, happy birthday to my daughter, Brooke, because becoming a mom was the moment that you stopped thinking about yourself. I don't remember a life before I had her. I don't remember what my day-to-day was. I must have just done nothing. What did I do all day before I had a kid? I don't know, but I've had other kids since. And of course, you know, Brooke has brothers. And let me just tell you, it was a gift. It was a gift. And when I look at some of these people in the liberal progressive movement, these women, these feminists, these women that say they don't want to be mothers and they want to control motherhood and they want to have all their fun, but they say the consequence of a baby. I'm thinking the baby's the greatest gift because having a baby is what made me care so much more about my country, my citizenship, who I am, who they are, what kind of person I'm producing in the world. It just opens up the whole field of responsibility and you become different. and you're more of a steward of the populace than you are just a partaker of it, right? And that's where a lot of these people go wrong, is they put everything else above what's natural and right, and they are just on this movement to move the world in a direction of the selfish.
Yeah.
That's really what it's about, right? Because as a parent, you become selfless. But this movement seeks to be selfish. It seeks to control. It seeks to oppress. And all of those wonderful parents out there, I hope you're seeing it. I do. I hope you're seeing it too, because I know you care about the future for your country and for your children. Let's take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I was going to say, it seems like you've moved on, but no. Happy birthday to your daughter, by the way.
Thank you.
Thomas Paine wrote in his book, Common Sense, and he tells a story about a man he saw at a tavern. Mm-hmm. And the guy had a little 8-year-old daughter next to him, and he described her as being beautiful or cute. And the father next to the little daughter says, "Give me peace in my day."
Hmm.
And Thomas Paine went on to say, "Not a man lives on the continent but fully believes that a separation must some or other time take place. And a generous parent should have said, if there be trouble, let it be in my day, that my child may have peace."
Yep.
And I think Amen. That touches on what you were saying. When we have
Thank
children,
you.
We yep. realize that more.
That is so the truth. Thank you. Bingo. Thank
exactly.
you. Thank you. Thank you. What a great statement. What a great statement. How many times are we dealing with sick kids and the parents say, "I'll take it. Give it to me. I've had this life. You give it to me. Let them have their life." We're under that same thing right now. And so I know that for me, it was really important to teach my kids to pray. It was important to instill faith. It was important to instill hope. It still is. I know you probably think I go home and I unleash the worst on my kids as far as this is gloom and doom. No, not at all. In fact, I try to be extremely hopeful because they need that hope. They need something to fight for, but they also have to have it rooted in faith. Otherwise they'll never do anything or accomplish anything to instill the patriotism, the love, and the love for this Constitution and protect it for the right reason. I made a Facebook post about the fact that it's one thing to fight for the Constitution. It's another one to know why you're fighting for the Constitution. When you know why you're fighting for it, completely different battle. So what I'm saying is a lot of people on the surface, "Oh yeah, I like that Constitution. It gave me America." Really? Can you identify the reasons as to why? See, that's where our education is sort of on this realm of just the surface. And we have to go much deeper, because once you know about that Constitution to the point where you are teaching your children about it, the correct principles behind it, that's when they never forget it. That's when they fight for it. That's when they love this country. But we're going to need a whole mass of people that know that, love it, know why they're fighting for it in order to make real change in this country. Not fake change, real change.
You know, I'm old enough to remember when parenting was important.
Mm-hmm.
And I also remember when it became much easier to get a divorce than it used to be. You know, at one time in this country, it was darn near impossible to get a divorce.
Yeah.
That got changed, and it got changed for a reason, to break up the family, and it did just that.
In the 70s, you know, I had an intact family in the 70s, and growing up in the 70s as a child. And you were like that kid in the classroom if your parents were divorced.
Oh, yeah.
You were that child. And you were singled out a little bit. I mean, grew up in California, for Pete's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you now, it's most of the kids in the classroom come from a family that's bits and pieces put together. And
yep.
And it's kind of amazing how that's happened. And now it's just sort of like, we just kind of take that as the natural.
But the other thing is I've seen enough of that. Not only that, but I've seen before that, when families mm-hmm. were whole.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and then to see what it's become, and I can honestly say it just doesn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have two extraordinary people to live in a mixed mm-hmm. household like that, from previous marriages
right.
and previous children, to make it all work. And you have to devote yourself to the family.
You know what? I totally get what you're saying. And the reason is I over the weekend I was writing something about this time for choosing when it comes to the Constitution. You're either going to choose the Constitution or you're not. You're either going to choose God or you're not. You're either going to... We're down to brass tacks. If you, in your home, if you are not teaching your kids correct principles of liberty, if you're not teaching them to pray, if you're not teaching them about God, and I'm not trying to go religiously heavy in this hour. No. I'm just saying if you're not teaching your kids those things, we have so many... And part of the tape we were about to roll that we'll roll in the next segment... How much Satanism has come into play with so many people and so many situations that would be beyond, I think, our comprehension. They will either choose God or they will choose Satan. They will either choose the Constitution or they will choose full-on globalization and communism. We don't have any room left for the gray or sitting on the fence anymore and talking about it, but not doing anything. There's nothing left. You're either going to be this or you're going to be that. Which way do you want your kids to go? Because I'm not trying to exaggerate this. I'm just saying that it's so prevalent and huge now, Satanism has become, that you better spend the rest of your days as a parent instilling these things if you haven't spent the majority of your time doing it. In good, right?
Yes. You know, politicians, we often hear from politicians that the goal is to be moderate.
Yeah.
You don't want to be left. You don't want to be right. You want to be moderate.
Compromise.
Well, I guarantee you this. God and neither God nor Satan wants you mm-hmm. to be moderate. You got to choose a side with
them. You got to choose a side.
That's right.
And you'll never guess in politics what side Satan's on. I know it's a big shockaroonie. It's a big shock. Gee, is he about oppressiveness? Is he about all of those things? And I know, I didn't really actually think we were going to go religious on this, but I have to because we're there, people. We're there. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes. Will you join me on the stage? Will be strong and stand with me? Beyond the barricade, is there a world you long to see?
Then join in the fight that will give you the right to be free.
Do you hear the people sing? Sing the song of angry men. It is the music of the people who will not be saved again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes.
Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. A song is of interest in me in so many different ways. And I love the lyrics, and it's powerful. And did you notice they start out singing very softly? And the one thing I want to point out is when Harold was on the show, Ziegler, who left East Germany, there was the softness of the silence, okay, or the silence to begin with. Because when they were growing that message, even within that song, the power came because they realized how many people were going to join in. Okay? They realized. And then the power of that song goes up, but they start out quiet for a reason. And that's exactly what they did in East Germany against the oppression, was they started out in small groups quietly. And then that grew and grew and grew and became bigger and louder. But they always had to start out in a more silent way in order to beat the oppressiveness. But in history, so many groups have beat that oppressiveness. We're going to have to change tactics. We're going to have to do things very, very differently. and not play their games. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. I wanted to play just a little bit more of this because this was a recording that Uncle Milty gave me called If I Were the Devil, Would I Have Your Vote? Very interesting. So let me play some excerpts from this. By the way, get over to Balance of Nature and order up. You're going to need your vitamins, man. That's all I can say. And by the way, it's a fantastic product that I believe in. This is go to balanceofnature.com, put in the code Kate, K-A-T-E. You'll get 35% off and free shipping, but get it ordered. Here's communism, talking about communism. Here we go.
Ideology that murdered over 100 million people in the 20th century alone. Although no system is perfect, capitalism, in contrast, lifted more people from poverty than any system in the history of the world during the very same century. Still, with equality, fairness, security, the alleged virtues of socialism, it's no wonder that socialist Fidel Castro, in meeting with Pope Francis, invoked Jesus as the ideal example of socialism. Christ multiplied the fish and the loaves to feed the people. That is precisely what we want to do with socialism.
Ouch. Okay,
that's the way it's being taught.
Yes.
Listen to what follows.
Yeah, he was not a socialist.
No.
But as Frodo Baggins would say,
it would seem like wisdom, but for the warning in my heart.
You see, there is one very big difference between Jesus or God and a socialist. Where socialists offer totalitarian force, God offers free will.
When you volunteer, when you want to be part of it, he never, ever made anybody do anything.
Giving of your own free will to help another person is not socialist.
No. Nope.
It's Christian.
Yeah,
being forced to is socialist.
Here we go.
Free will versus force. Voluntary versus involuntary. Freedom versus slavery. Though God and socialism at first appear to be friends, when it comes to preserving free will and freedom of conscience, they are in fact polar opposites. And if opposites, it begs the question, who is behind this enemy of freedom? You may not believe there's a God or a Satan, but what I'm about to show you proves the founders of socialism believed in both. Where did socialism begin? Largely in the dark 19th century mind of Karl Marx. Like many ideologists, he was an aspiring poet, and one of his early poems, The Prayer, gives us a glimpse of what was upstairs. The hellish vapors rise and fill the brain, till I go mad, and my heart is utterly changed. See this sword? The Prince of Darkness sold it to me. Ever more boldly, I play the dance of death. Maybe you're like me, wondering if these words were literal or just merely metaphorical. But consider the following found in the opening page of Marx's infamous Communist Manifesto. It is high time that communists openly, in the face of the whole world, publish their views, their aims, and their tendencies. I'm going to go with literal. But don't take my word for it. Marx later confessed even more explicitly on two separate occasions. I wish to avenge myself against the one who rules above. The idea of God is the keynote of a perverted civilization and must be destroyed. My object in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. Ironically, Marx's own words belie the notion that he was an atheist. Rather, Marx knew God existed and openly sought to destroy his influence on mankind. But Marx wasn't the only founding socialist who warred with God. Marx's close associate, Mikhail Bakunin, had this to say in his unfinished manuscript, God and the State. The evil one is the satanic revolt against divine authority. Socialists recognize each other by the words, in the name of the one to whom a great wrong has been done, Satan. If these words are disturbing, it's for good reason. They're the same words used by Luciferian cults, and call me naive, they may just take the victim mentality to a whole new level. But Bakunin goes even further. We have to awaken the devil in the people to stir up the basest passions. Our mission is to destroy, not to edify. As revealing as these words are, just wait till you hear from another contemporary and close associate of Marx, Pierre Joseph Proudhon. Here's what Proudhon wrote in his book, hailing Satan as a friend. Come, Satan, come. Let me embrace thee and press thee to my bosom. Long is it that I have known thee, and long hast thou known me. What would man be without thee? A beast. Theists have their religions, and apparently, so do socialists. It was Antonio Gramsci, a socialist successor to Marx, who declared socialism is precisely the religion that must overwhelm Christianity. It will triumph first by capturing the culture via infiltration of schools, universities, churches, and the media.
Boy, that is so true. In fact, that's why I'm saying your kids, if not deeply rooted in God, will be taken over by this new religion of socialism, new oppressive religion of socialism / communism. Biden is the Communism Party nominee. This is, and it isn't like the train of communism is stopping it finally at the depot now on Wednesday. It has been coming along for decades. We allowed it. We allowed it. We allowed it. Now it's not disguising itself. And we think, now it's finally come. When I hear people like my own congressman go, we have to make sure socialism doesn't come. Buddy, what a troll. We've been in socialism. We've been here, but now it becomes the new religion. And that will permeate its way into your kids. Your kids will be either, they'll either be rooted in God or they'll be rooted in this. Why? Because it is insane out there, and they're dealing with it on social media, within schools, within the messaging, within the propaganda, within their TV shows, within their movies. It's all surrounding them. So if they're not deeply rooted in this, they're in God, forget about it. That's why it's either A or B. Choose. Which do you want?
You know, the foundation that we give our children is so important in how their life will go. The Bible has 61 verses explaining foundation. That's what it's saying. The foundation, they're not talking about the foundation. They're talking about the foundation of your life in the Bible. Christ is talking about the foundation of your life.
Well, everything they're about. They want the kids to have sex and use abortion as birth control. They want you to give in to every desire and every passion and everything that you are doing so that when they were saying on this part of the video, unleashing all of that in all of us, right? I agree, because everything they're about is that. Everything they're about is no consequence, do what you want. It's basically Sodom and Gomorrah. It's basically the goal. And how heinous is that? Let's move on. Here we go.
As hard as this pill is to swallow, the founders of socialism and its early successors clearly believed in and held open contempt for God while beseeching Satan in their quest to conquer. And every horrific dictator of the past embraced socialism in one form or another,
Hitler,
including the much disputed Adolf Hitler. Since we are socialists, we must also be anti-Semites. Socialism is the final concept of duty. Hitler's propaganda minister also added, socialism is the ideology of the future. And when asked about Vladimir Lenin, he said, Lenin is the greatest man, second only to Hitler. And the difference between communism and the Hitler faith is very slight. Hate. Hate is a word used today whenever someone disagrees with a socialist. But Lenin betrayed this precedent when he said, the goal of socialism is communism, and hatred is the basis for communism.
Oh, it's so true.
Yep.
And what are we looking at right now? And by the way, next they go to Stalin, 62 million deaths under Stalin. But what are we looking at right now? We have a nation of people that say, if you do not repeat what I say is truth, you will be hated and we will demonize you. Free speech is not upheld in Pennsylvania, because if you say there was fraud, the obvious 1,400 pages of documented fraud, your free speech is not protected. That's by their own lieutenant governor.
Yep.
So we have a lot of messages right now that are really hate toward a Christian conservative. Those two things together, right?
Yep.
And how are our kids going to stand up to all this?
They can't.
If they don't have any foundation.
They can't.
They can't.
And that's where we are today.
Yeah.
Our children are adrift out there.
Yeah.
In that world, our children are adrift.
Yeah.
You know, my grandchildren, they are being raised in a conservative, intelligent way, I believe. But I hear them talk about how hard it is not to succumb to the peer pressure
of
the others.
Huge.
That's their complaint, my grandchildren. Yeah.
No, it's huge, and that's for all kids right now.
Yeah, I'm sure
The peer pressure is insanity because now it's on social media, it's on everywhere, and so they're being hit up 24/7 with peer pressure.
And what young teenager wants to be hated?
Right, right. You know, becoming a parent 26 years ago, I'll tell you something, it changed me. It changes everybody. If you're a parent, you've been changed, and you've been changed to think of the world in a different way. You just do. And these leftist progressives, they're so all about the selfishness of just being able to accomplish what they want to accomplish in this life without ever realizing what a gift parenthood is. You know, parenthood is that gift where you finally step out of your wants and needs, and now somebody else's wants and needs are ahead of your own. And there's something really special about that, about figuring that out and coming to that. Nothing else does it like that. And whether you are an acting parent, maybe you didn't biologically have the child. It doesn't matter. You're a parent. You're a parent. And when you're a parent, it's a different world for you. What are the conservatives made up of? The conservative Christians? Mostly parents. Mostly parents.
Mm-hmm.
The people at those capitals, the people at the marches for the baby's lives, right? Human sanctity. The parents. They're trying to change that inside out right now. They're trying to present something totally different to the world as success, something completely different. In fact, they're changing history now, and they're doing it so broadly through the medium of at-home viewing, that television, movies, that it's reached a point where I want to talk about that on tomorrow's show. Because I noticed a trend over this last weekend and week, and I want to share that with you, what I've noticed. But our kids are getting swept up into stories and narratives that were never true. Look how they're painting these total Satanists in our history. They're able to paint these people. I'm surprised people aren't wearing Stalin jackets. Go Stalin. I mean, honestly, that's how insane it is right now. The hate rhetoric has certainly been at an all-time high right now for people like you and me, and courtesy of this new regime. So that's our battle. That's our battle. And we'll be back tomorrow, talk more about it, and we'll take calls tomorrow. I really want you guys to weigh in on this tomorrow, too. Upcoming guest, Allison on Friday. We may have Ron Paul this week. All kinds of guests this week on the show, too. Uncle Milty, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Be fearless. Be faithful. Be faithful first. Be faithful. That gives you the ability to be fearless. And we'll see you here tomorrow. Go to katedalyradio.com for all the podcasts.